Are You Poor in Spirit? A Compilation.
Jesus' first beatitude, or path to blessing, is found in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word blessed is a translation of the original Greek word makarios, which refers to a deep inner joy that nothing in life can give or steal. By contrast, poor in our verse does not mean poverty, but instead describes absolute destitution. It means a person who has no food, clothes, or possessions of any kind. The phrase in spirit shows the kind of poverty Jesus means. To be poor in spirit is to recognize our spiritual bankruptcy before God. The New English Bible translates this phrase well. Blessed are those who know their need of God. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the place where God rules as king. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Here's the problem. We will only make God our king when we know how much we need him. Otherwise, we will attempt to be king instead. It's here we discover the foundational question for all genuine success, joy, peace, and happiness in life. Who is your king, you or God? Being poor in spirit starts with admitting that we don't know how to live our lives or make our own decisions, so we always pray first. We put God in charge of our problems and our ambitions, our struggles and our dreams. When we are poor in spirit, we recognize every day that life is not about us. What truly matters is living in a way that glorifies Jesus and invites the people around us to make him their king. It's understandable that people would judge Christ by Christians. When we live in ways that honor our Lord, we lead others to honor him as well. Everything we do is a means to this end. So here's the question. Are you poor in spirit? Have you been living your life with God as king? Or have you been trying to take control yourself? If you're not sure, think about it in these ways. When was the last time you surrendered an important decision to him? What was the last problem you entrusted to him in prayer? What about the last time you surrendered your will and chose his, even though you may not have understood or agreed? And if you were to ask him, would God say he is your king today? If not, know that God isn't looking at you with frustration and disappointment. Rather, he's inviting you today to recognize that he loves you more than you can comprehend and desires to see you live a life full of blessing and joy. Will you let him be your good king today? Jim Dennison and Ryan Dennison. In Matthew 5:3, Jesus is speaking of being poor in spirit, i.e., being spiritually poor. Jesus is saying that, no matter what your status in life, you must recognize your spiritual poverty before you can come to God in faith to receive the salvation he offers. Why and how does being poor in spirit result in the kingdom of heaven? While the phrase can be broad in meaning, kingdom of heaven essentially refers to salvation. The kingdom of heaven is both eternity in heaven with God after death and the eternal quality of life with God before death. God offers us salvation as a gift through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the full payment for sin's penalty. Before we can receive this gift, we must understand that we cannot make ourselves worthy of it. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. We must recognize our sinfulness before we can understand our need for a Savior. We must admit our spiritual poverty before we can receive the spiritual riches God offers. We must, in short, be poor in spirit. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," he is declaring that before we can enter God's kingdom, we must recognize the utter worthlessness of our own spiritual currency and the inability of our own works to save us. GodQuestions.org. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does this mean? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To find out, let's look at some great men of God in Scripture. John the Baptist. "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He must increase, I must decrease." Could this be why Jesus said, "Among those born of women, none is greater than John"? If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. The tax collector. Jesus told a parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector who went up to the temple to pray. Concerning the tax collector, he said, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified," which is just another way of saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The centurion. When Jesus was not far off from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed." When Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the multitude, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." The Canaanite woman. When Jesus at first refused her request for help, since she was not a Jew, she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." To which Jesus responds, "O woman, great is your faith." So we learn that poverty of spirit is right at the very heart of what true faith is. What is poverty of spirit? It is a sense of powerlessness in ourselves. It is a sense of spiritual bankruptcy and helplessness before God. It is a sense of moral uncleanness before God. It is a sense of personal unworthiness before God. It is a sense that if there is to be any life or joy or usefulness, it will have to be all of God and all of grace. It is appropriate to take the first and second Beatitudes together. "Blessed are those who mourn" clarifies the subjective side of being poor in spirit. "Blessed are the poor in spirit who mourn." Blessed are the people who feel keenly their inadequacies and their guilt, and their failures and their helplessness, and their unworthiness and their emptiness, who don't try to hide these things under a cloak of self-sufficiency, but who are honest about them and grieved and driven to the grace of God. Blessed are you, because you are going to be comforted. John Piper. Thank you. The greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, was given to a handful of mountain men by the greatest mountaineer of all, Jesus, who finally climbed his last mountain, Mount Calvary, Golgotha, and died alone for the sins of the world. That was a mountain that only he could climb for you and me, but he made it. After Jesus' disciples heard his Sermon on the Mount, they came down and changed the world. They were never the same. They heard the voice of God teaching them things that were completely contrary to what was being said in the valley. In the valley they were saying, "Blessed are the Romans, the proud and the powerful. Look what they've done. They've conquered the whole world. It pays to be a Roman." But on the mount, Jesus was saying just the opposite. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Simple, illiterate fishermen were listening to a carpenter tell them something that would make them greater rulers than the Caesars of Rome. Blessed are the poor in spirit, his poor, ignorant, and unlearned disciples, for theirs is the kingdom that is going to rule the universe. David Brandberg.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.